may be seated. Well, wasn't that good? I've not heard you sing before, Henry. That was great. We start this series tonight, Keys to the Kingdom, Unlocking the Future of Our Church. And over the next 6 weeks, I would anticipate that we're all going to feel engaged by this series. In fact, you may feel engaged tonight. And that's the goal of this series, is to engage everyone here. Tonight, I want to congratulate you on your new service to the church. As your lead pastor, I'm appointing you, every one of you. Congratulations. I like that. You are all part of the Shalimar United Methodist Witness Team. And it takes effect immediately. So I'm asking you to be a part of it. And over these next 6 weeks, we're going to be exploring what this means, unlocking what this means. Would you bow with me in prayer? Dear God, we thank you for the church. We thank you for those that have loved us in the church when nobody else did. We thank you for those that have given words of encouragement in the church when we were not hearing encouragement anywhere else. We thank you for everything the church means to us. And also, we just imagine today what you see for the future of this church and how we can be a part of that and how everyone here can do their part. We want to serve you. We want to serve the church so that the light of Jesus Christ can be seen on earth. Help us, we pray, as we open these pages of the book of Acts, to see and hear how you're speaking to us. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this church, Shalimar United Methodist Church, if you've not been here long, or maybe you've been here a decade or two, you may not know much about the history of the church, but it's 67 years old. And we have some exciting things that are going on now. Already this year in 2018, we've been impacted by some significant things that God is doing in our church. But let me just take a moment just to go back through some of what's happened here on this campus. In 1951, the first service was held here. It was in an old drive-in theater concession stand. Do any of you remember that drive-in theater and that concession stand? Yes. You just remember there was a drive-in theater, and there was evidence of the drive-in theater many years after that. But that was the humble beginning of Shalimar United Methodist Church, 1951. And shortly after, I believe in 1952, a sanctuary was constructed. And here's an aerial photograph. And this is the music suite now, and it was the first building on this campus. And there was a tall steeple that was also a part of this building. But this was where those that were in the name of Shalimar Methodist gathered for many years. And sometime later in the 1970s, this sanctuary that is our current sanctuary was constructed, 1973. Some of you might recognize yourself in that photo. I don't know. The cars look a little bit like 1973. But this was major, the first service at Shalimar Methodist in this sanctuary was actually giving praise to God for the end of the Vietnam War. In fact, it was an impromptu service. It was on a Saturday evening. Imagine that. And very little publicity time, word of mouth, and the sanctuary was full. And that was the first act of worship in the new worship space celebrating, giving thanks to God, the ending of the Vietnam War. And this, of course, continues to be used today as our traditional, for our traditional services. Well, the church has not stood still in the 1990s. This building was constructed, and there is also a cornerstone that you can see on the left corner of the Family Life Center that says it was 1976. And the Family Life Center this year has been getting a sprucing up. We see painting going on the exterior just now. And they were still working there when we arrived. But this facility has housed the worship, the education, and so many ministries and activities over the last 22 years. Well, about 10 years after that, there started to be a movement to purchase the Haverty's building next door. And the church decided to buy the Haverty's building. And now, present day, Haverty's, of course, has a lease, and they are continuing in that lease. And we own the building, and they pay Shalimar rent for the building. But somewhere down the road, future use of this building is underway with our master planning team. How can this space best be used in our future? When does it need to be used? And then, just in the last couple of weeks, the purchase next door of the former Presbyterian Church. And already, folks have just been drawn to explore this space. And there is actually, we're asking people to help name this facility that is a gift of God to the congregation of Shalimar United Methodist Church. So if you want to suggest a name, drop it in the box. If you have suggestions of how this building can be used for the glory of God, let the annex team know. They are very active in exploring this, even right now. So that's some of the highlights of the ministry. But I'd like to share with you that these buildings are wonderful blessings. They're assets. But it's the people that make a church. And that's what's been the most incredible part of the Shalimar United Methodist Church story, is the people. Because these buildings, they serve certain functions, but it's the people that give the heartbeat and the passion for the church. And it's really the region that we're here to serve. It's the region. We have an aerial photo from William Schenck that shows part of our region. Beautiful. But wherever we go, the people of God, the church goes. So wherever you go, the church goes. And an opportunity for us to witness for Jesus Christ. And that's why this church was founded in 1951, was to reach this area for Jesus Christ. And now in 2018, that's our heartbeat now. That's why we're here, to reach this area for Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of different thoughts about the church. When we talk about reaching people for Christ, what we, some of the things that get in our way. I just want to talk to you very plainly tonight, just a little bit. It'll be more of a talking sermon, particularly this part. You know, people are really not interested in our opinions. Sometimes we think about, we got to share our opinions with people when we relate to them and we seek to reach out to them in the name of the church. But you know, people aren't really looking for opinions to agree with them. Our opinions get in the way. I remember one night I'd preached a sermon, and there were some people that had come to the altar. They were professing their faith in Jesus Christ. They were making commitments to Jesus Christ. And there was a man who came to me, and he wanted to debate my sermon right there. And I realized right then how out of place that was. Here are these people responding to God wanting to give their life to God, and this man wanted to be theologically correct on a point. That's not why we're here. People really aren't interested about our theology. Theology gives us a foundation, but it's not the main reason we're here. Our opinions, they might give us some sort of foundation, but that's not why we're here. People are here to experience Jesus Christ. Our witness to other people is about sharing this good news of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about these deeds of shalom, we're not necessarily asking you as the church's witnesses to go out and say a lot of words. In fact, words can get in the way, particularly when we share our opinions. But what we are asking you to do is just find deeds that you can do in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, on my way here tonight, I took two loads of laundry to the laundromat. Our dryer went out at home. You know that messes everything up, doesn't it? Nothing flows normal when your dryer won't dry clothes. So I went by the dryer thinking, it's Saturday that I do my laundry, and if I get out of that rhythm, it just doesn't work. So I go by the laundromat, and I dry my clothes as quickly as I can. And then I have all these quarters. And so I just decided to leave several of the quarters there for whoever would come in after me. That can be a deed of shalom. It can help somebody. So what would happen if we as a church, if we all go out this week and say, I'm going to find a deed, I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to seek to help someone. I'm going to spot something that I think I can do something about. I'm going to help them. I'm going to do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. And the conversation, I'm going to let that conversation just going to come to me. I'm going to listen first. And if that person asks me why I did what I did, I'll share with them that it's because of Jesus that I did what I did. But I want to relate to the person first. And that is going to be the key to our growing future in Shalimar United Methodist Church. It used to be a time when people just came to the church and they would come and visit a church just because it was here. We still have some of that. But for the most part, people don't come to churches just because they are nearby. They'll come to churches because somebody got to know them. Somebody had a deed of shalom, served them in some way, and then invited them. Jeff Spiller, who was with us last May, consulting us in our church's future, he said something that was pretty amazing. He said that if we invite the people to church that we serve and we're relating to them, we become friends, that 7 out of 10 will come to church because we have related to them first. We've met a need. But even if they never come to church, we still serve them because that's what Jesus wants us to do. We serve his kingdom, and this kingdom, his kingdom's big. So any act of kindness, any deed of shalom contributes to the kingdom of God. And that's what we want to focus on as a church. So I'm asking you as a part of this new team to go out this week and to serve Jesus Christ through deeds of kindness and deeds of shalom. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be long to be what God wants it to be. Now let me just share with you some teachings from the book of Acts that help ground us, because the book of Acts is our playbook. It gives us the direction of how we can be the church. Why can I say that? It's because the book of Acts is the story of the church. It's the story of how the church came into being. And the church came into being through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit brought power. Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to build the church upon you, the rock. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit came and made all of this possible. And if you read Acts chapter 1, you'll read about the coming of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost, Peter started preaching. And this was the same Peter who had denied Jesus. This was the same Peter who started walking on the water and then sank like a rock. This is the same Peter who could lose his temper. This is the same Peter that cut off part of the guard's ear when they arrested our Lord. Jesus used Peter, who was so flawed, to start his church. We're flawed. We have sin. We have obstacles in our life, but Christ wants to use us in his church, just like Peter. And Peter preached this sermon, and the Spirit came like a mighty wind, and he started saying to all of the people that we must repent of our sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And they did. It was a powerful sermon. About 3,000 came to know the Lord that day, as the Spirit came as a mighty wind. And one other dynamic about this setting is that it was all these different people who spoke different languages, but they could understand each other. There was amazing unity. All these different kinds of people, but they understood each other. That's amazing, isn't it? The power of the Holy Spirit brought all these people that were so different together. In fact, they were so jubilant that they were accused of being drunk. And Peter said, it was 9 a.m. How in the world could we be drunk? But this was the atmosphere of the early church. And it's the playbook in which we're to build the church. God takes flawed people, and the power of the Holy Spirit gives a power to bring people to Jesus Christ. So we make ourselves available to receive this power, and these life-changing things just begin to happen. Now, in these keys to unlocking our future, I want to share with you very briefly just a few of these keys that come up tonight in this opening. The first key I'd like for us to take with us in unlocking our church's future is to love Jesus. To make this as our primary aim in life, to love Jesus in everything we do. Jesus loves us, and when we love him in return, things start happening. I've been in ministry a long time, and over the past few months, I've really grappled with this is what I need to do more than anything else in ministry. It's just love Jesus. Spend my time and attention each day loving Jesus with my life. It makes a difference. Because the second key is related to this first key, love people. When I love Jesus, I see people differently. I don't see all the people that try my patience. I don't see all the people that I want to judge and tell them why they are in the predicament they're in. I see people of worth. Just as I am valued by God, I see people of worth as I look at people through the eyes of Jesus. So I want to love Jesus and then see other people through the eyes of Jesus. And it won't matter a person's background. It won't matter rich or poor. It won't matter poor or rich. I just want to love people in the love of Jesus Christ. And that's the strongest focus we have for the future of our church. To just make sure that everything exists so that we can love Jesus and we can love the people through Jesus. Now we need energy for this, and so we need to fill up. We need to fill up. I was buying something the other day at a restaurant, a salad, and the server, when I waited for my order, she said, "What is your name?" And I said, "Philip." And I saw it, and it was spelled like that on my ticket. Isn't that good? That made my day. Fill up. In our quest to love Jesus and to love people, we're going to get tired. And the other day I looked at my cell phone and it was 2% battery. And I wasn't anywhere near a charger. Panic, right? But you know that happens in our spiritual life. In our heart, we're at 2%. So what do? It's time to fill up. It's time to charge up. The Holy Spirit, God made the Holy Spirit and sent the Holy Spirit to come and fill us so we can be filled up and renewed every day. It doesn't stop there with these keys. We can grow up each day as they did at Pentecost. They grew up to the Lord personally. And so whatever you need to do and I need to do to grow spiritually every day, I would do that. If you have a devotional life, cultivate that devotional life so that it'll grow, so that you'll continue to grow up and grow closer to the Lord every day. If you do not have a devotional life, I'll be glad to talk with you about a simple strategy for forming one. But spend some time with God every day and spend some time growing up every day. We also want to grow out. We are given what we are given by the Lord so that we can share it with others. And so our witness is about growing out and impacting other people. If our spiritual life is only focused on us, it's not complete. It's time for us to break down the barriers. It's time for us to get out there with other people, to get out there with other people in the church, to get out there with other people in the community, and to grow out and to take this love of Jesus to other people. Jesus said, "Go into all the world, baptizing and teaching in my name." That is his command, that we go out and we be his witnesses to grow out. The church, the future of the church, is not about growing in. It's about growing out. Growing out, reaching those that Christ puts in our path every day. And this leads to my final point for this evening. When we do all of these things, when we love Jesus, when we love people, when we fill up with the Holy Spirit, when we grow up and we grow out, something amazing is going to happen. We're going to grow together. This unity that we're going to have in the church is going to be unlike anything else we've ever experienced before. The biblical concept was known as koinonia. It was a deeper fellowship. It was a deeper relationship. And as lead pastor, I see that happening in the future of our church. That God is going to move in such a strong way through our congregation and in our community into the future. As we love Jesus and love people, that we're going to have the strongest unity. It'll be so strong that it will actually draw people here, because we live in a very divided world right now. And people are drawn to where there's love, the love of Jesus, and the love of each other. Well, that's all that I have time for tonight. I hope you will share these keys to the kingdom and you'll look for someone to serve this week in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the book of Acts. We pray that we will open our lives to your Holy Spirit, Some of us here tonight probably think, you know, I'm not sure I can do any of this. But if it was us alone, we would all feel that way. But your Holy Spirit is as close to the person next to us. And so we pray that we will be empowered by your Spirit to love Jesus and to love people, to grow up, to grow out, and to grow together as a church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.